Welcome to episode 174 of George's Random Astronomical Object. Every episode, I run a random number generator to select random astronomical coordinates in the sky, and I then search for an astronomical object near those coordinates and talk about what makes that object so interesting to astronomers. And I will now run the random number generator.
Oh, yeah.
The random number generator has returned the coordinates of 6 hours, 28 minutes, 23.2 seconds right ascension, and negative 65 degrees, 34 minutes, 45 seconds declination. This episode's coordinates point to a star system in the constellation Dorado, which I have always found to be the most confusing to understand in terms of what the name is supposed to mean or what the constellation is supposed to represent. Although it has the same name as the legendary City of Gold sought after by Spanish conquistadors in the New World during the early colonial era, it apparently does not reference that. Instead, it's named after the dolphinfish, which is better known to people who have lived in Hawaii as Mahi Mahi, and which really doesn't look like a dolphin, or at least a bottlenosed dolphin. It's another constellation invented by the Dutch navigators Peter Dirkszoon Keizer and Frederik de Huytman in the 16th century because they wanted to create new constellations to cover what was otherwise blank parts of the southern sky. Even though the stars within the constellation are relatively indistinct when viewed with the naked eye, this constellation is, to use the technical term, chock full of exciting astronomical objects, the most notable being the Large Magellanic Cloud. But I'm not talking about that today. Instead, I'm going to focus on the star system TOI-700, which I could call TOI-700, but I think most people read out the acronym. TOI-700 sounds like it could be the name of some sort of robot from a 1980s sci-fi B-movie. However, TOI is an acronym that stands for TESS Object of Interest, where TESS, T-E-S-S, is another acronym that stands for Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite. And thankfully, TESS does not contain yet another acronym. At this point, you should be able to guess that TOI-700 has one or more exoplanets. And you would be right. So before I discuss the exoplanets, let me just describe the star at the center of TOI-700 to begin with. This star is a relatively nondescript red dwarf with a mass of about 0.42 times the mass of the Sun that is located at a distance of 101.50 light years, or 31.12 parsecs, from the Earth, which is kind of close in terms of stars, but still too far for me to use my Star Wars sound effects. It has an apparent magnitude of about 13.1, and it has been appearing in star catalogs for decades. But until exoplanets were discovered orbiting it, it seemed kind of boring. The exoplanets orbiting TOI-700 were discovered by astronomers using the TESS satellite in a series of observations starting in July 2018, and the first results were announced in a series of papers published in 2020. The TESS satellite detects exoplanets by looking at the slight periodic dimming that occurs when exoplanets pass between the stars that they are orbiting and the Earth. Detecting exoplanets this way requires the orbits to be aligned in a very special way, but the results can be spectacular when such chance alignments are found. TOI-700 has a total of 4 exoplanets, which have the names TOI-700 B, C, D, and E, where all of those letters are lowercase letters. The B planet is the innermost, followed by C, E, and then D. The E planet is out of sequence there because it was discovered a couple of years after the others. These planets orbit the star at distances ranging from 0.068 to 0.16 astronomical units, or AU, where 1 AU is the distance from the Sun to the Earth, and 0.39 AU is the distance from the Sun to Mercury. So the planets are quite close to their host star. The planet's orbital periods are also quite rapid, ranging from slightly under 10 Earth days to 37.4 Earth days. The B, D, and E exoplanets are also close in size to the size of the Earth, which is rather exciting, while the C planet is 2.6 times larger in diameter, which makes it slightly less exciting because it's slightly less Earth-like. Even though the planets in the TOI 700 system are quite close to the red dwarf emits around 2% of the total energy emitted by the Sun, so the planets do not get quite so hot. The B and C planets are still sufficiently close to the red dwarf that they are generally not expected to have Earth-like conditions. However, the D and E exoplanets sit within the habitable zone, or in other words, they are at distances from the red dwarf where the surface temperatures would be similar to the Earth's and where water could exist in a liquid state. In fact, when TOI 700d was discovered, it was the first Earth-sized exoplanet found in the habitable zone of any star observed specifically by the TESS satellite, and a lot of astronomers generated a lot of press releases about the discovery and also probably earned a lot of grant money. However, TOI 700 is not the first star with exoplanets to appear in my podcast series, and I have learned two major points regarding exoplanets while I have been producing this series. First, almost everyone will have really high hopes that they found an exoplanet that could host life or that is otherwise really unusual compared to what everyone else found. Except for the people who found the exoplanet WD0806-661b, who, as I discussed in episode 44, described the exoplanet as a really, really, really small brown dwarf. Anyhow, it's quite common to see people exclaiming that they found some sort of Earth-like exoplanet orbiting another star, but for people to later discover that the exoplanet is not as suitable for life as expected. Second, red dwarfs like TOI 700 often tend to have lots of stellar flares that can ionize or bake off the atmosphere of any Earth-like planet. And this has crushed the hopes of some astronomers who have previously found exoplanets orbiting other red dwarfs. This could have also been a concern regarding the possibility that TOI 700d and e have Earth-like atmospheres. However, the people who discovered the exoplanets orbiting TOI 700 studied the brightness of the star over time very carefully and reached the conclusion that the star did not flare like other red dwarfs. This makes it much more likely that the planets orbiting the star may have atmospheres and may even host life. One of the cool things that can be done with planets that pass between their host stars and Earth is to perform spectroscopic observations to look for hints of light passing through the planet's atmospheres. Unfortunately, it currently seems to be technically infeasible to do this with the planets orbiting TOI 700, even using the James Webb Space Telescope. Still, it would be interesting to see whether, in a decade or two, someone can build an instrument that can actually detect atmospheres around the exoplanets TOI 700d and e. The location on the Earth's surface corresponding to the position of TOI 700 in the sky is in the vicinity of the Shackleton Ice Shelf just off the coast of Antarctica. Although named after Shackleton, this ice shelf was discovered by a completely different Antarctic explorer, Douglas Mawson. And even more interestingly, Shackleton was still alive when it was discovered, so it isn't like it was named after him as a memorial for his voyages of discovery in the Antarctic. Anyhow, with global warming, it's not certain just how much longer this ice shelf is going to last. The website for this podcast, which might outlast the Shackleton Ice Shelf, is www.randomastronomicalobject.com, which you can visit to read information about the astronomical objects, view images of those astronomical objects, look up additional reference information, and send me random feedback. The audio was recorded and edited by George Bendo. The music is Immersion by Sasha Endy, and the sound effects are from the Freesounds Project at www.freesounds.org. Thanks for listening.